This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. In our efforts to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccines are one of the most effective ways to break the chain of transmission in the population. And to date, around 43% of Malaysians have been fully vaccinated. However, we're also seeing media coverage of segments of the community who are not open to the vaccine. So the question we're asking today is, what are some of the factors driving vaccine perceptions in Malaysia? A recent survey by Ipsos Malaysia could shed some light on why certain groups remain vaccine hesitant. So joining me today to discuss this are Lars Eric Lai, Associate Director for Public Affairs at Ipsos Malaysia, and Professor Mahendriya Nair, Pro Vice Chancellor at Sunway University. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for having us.
So Lars, Ipsos is, of course, a well-known market research company that conducts surveys on a range of topics around the world. How are surveys commissioned and conducted in Malaysia? And maybe we can take the example of the vaccine perception survey that was recently done. Can you briefly walk us through the process?
Okay, sure. So when it comes to this survey that we did on vaccine perception, this survey was conducted online. So we were using Ipsos online panels and we conducted this survey in mid-June. So what we did is we interviewed around 800 adult Malaysians age 18 and above, and it was done nationwide. So we covered basically all states. From Ipsos side, we do these kind of surveys quite frequently, right? So we're covering sentiments of consumers and of citizens over a whole range of topics. And obviously, over the past 1.5 years or so, COVID has been pretty much the main topic of concern. And over the last few months, increasingly vaccines and vaccine perception, right? So for this survey in particular, what is different than what we usually do is that, we did this in cooperation with Monash, with Sunway University, and with USM, along with Ipsos. So in addition to Ipsos collecting the data, our colleagues at the universities, they have been designing the survey, and they've been doing some modeling of the data, based on behavioral construct that is used in academia. So we're very happy that we could engage in this, and we're able to leverage the expertise of all the different institutions involved. So this was definitely one of the more interesting studies that we've done on vaccines and vaccine perception.
Mm-hmm. Professor Mahendran, how representative are the results of this survey? The sample size that was mentioned by Lars is around 800 participants. And to my untrained mind, this seems like a really tiny sample compared to the Malaysian population of 32 million. So are there caveats that apply when we interpret the data and extrapolate it across the whole of the country?
Yes, it's 804 samples, and as mentioned, it is a random sample of the population, but particularly, it is primarily people in the urban areas. Further work needs to be done on the rural areas, but because of the MCO and a whole range of other things, we were rather limited. But again, I think it gives you very good insights into a segment of the population.
Okay. And the survey had some really interesting results. It measured the intention of people to receive the vaccine. And there were a number of categories that saw higher levels of intention. I think the women, among women, the elderly, and the more educated, these were more likely to say that we will get the vaccine. Why were these groups more likely to be receptive?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that question. We see that women had a higher, intention of being vaccinated. It's about 85% versus men, who are about 79%. And this is quite consistent with the literature, where we see that women are more concerned about their health and the family's health than most men. The other one is also we saw the older group higher intention to be vaccinated. And this is not surprising, too, because of the risk factor of becoming severely ill and also a higher propensity of comorbidities. The other interesting thing is that this group was also influenced by their family members, the children and others that realize that they are very vulnerable. So there's a lot of support and also a lot of encouragement by this group. The other dynamic is actually education. The more educated population, are more likely to be vaccinated. Not surprising, because they are more well-informed, the stages of the vaccine rollout, the efficacy of the vaccines and so on. So this population tend to be more highly likely to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And conversely, we see a significant proportion of respondents who were not inclined to take the vaccine among men, the young, and the less educated. It's just the opposite. What explains these findings then, and how concerned should we be by this group of vaccine holdouts?
I think one of the interesting results is that we saw youth have a lower positive perception towards vaccine. I mean, the intention to be vaccinated was 68% said yes, they would be vaccinated. But about 32% were unsure or not willing to be vaccinated. And also, I think, interestingly, as we probe this group among all the cohorts or segment of the population, they feel that there's less chance of them being infected. They feel that they are not at risk, particularly getting severely ill or dying from the disease. Hence, you know, there's less motivation. And this is quite consistent with the studies from US and others, you know, where the younger group tend to be more reluctant and wanting to go out and, you know, are not keen to be curtailed at home and so on. But I think the other factor is also we see that if you look at a lot of the media information that go out, it is primarily targeted towards the, you know, high risks, the older. You know, we see that this lack of ads and media information targeting the youth and how COVID impacts them and how their role as the conduit for transmission of COVID to their family members or the vulnerable groups within their own families. So we don't see, compared to most of the other segments, there's a lot of targeted ads and towards the vulnerable groups.
When you put it that way, Professor Mahendran, it certainly makes sense, because I was surprised that 50% of 18 to 30-year-olds didn't view vaccines positively. But as you mentioned, they hadn't been the target vaccine recipients for quite a while. I think it wasn't until recently when there was actually more vaccine supply that could go to them.
So this is where I think, you know, this study provides valuable information. When we look at pandemics, who are the target groups in terms of who should we be, you know, targeting first? Of course, the vulnerable groups, but also I think the potential groups that could be the carriers. We see that perhaps maybe future pandemics ought to look at, you know, the segments of the population that could be potential carriers, which may not be seemingly clear in the beginning, but you know, we ought to be looking at it differently.
Mm. There was another finding that I found quite curious, and that was in terms of how Malaysians view the community versus individual benefits of getting the vaccine. And the research showed that respondents were less cognizant of how each person gains from being vaccinated. So why do you think Malaysians are overlooking the individual benefits? I mean, it can't be just because we're just more selfless, right?
I think one of the key things is that the disease itself seemed to be, you know, more of a community-based transmission. So here it is. I think we see that one of the key, you know, strategy would be to target that, you know, community cannot be safe if every individual does not take the responsibility. And I think this study highlights that a lot of the ads and a lot of the information seem to be at the community level, the spread of the disease at the community level. So I think that's why I think the perceptions are being formed in that sense. So we see that perhaps, you know, greater effort needs to be put in place where individual initiative has an impact on community. And, you know, nobody is safe until everybody is safe.
I mean, the phrase lindung diri, lindung semua, it's been a constant refrain throughout the pandemic so far. How else can we hammer that message in to make it more resonant, I suppose, if it isn't quite working at the moment?
The key link is that they are the community. And I think that message, it's for somebody else to do it, as opposed to. So that link between the community and the individual needs to be emphasized. And this is where the education is really important. The whole idea of we are all part of the community. Individuals make up that community. And anything that we do impacts our family and our neighbors and so on. And I think education and providing the incentives and the technology and all those things come in. And so the whole ecosystem needs to work. This is where, you know, the parents, the whole family unit too have an important role. And that comes out very strongly in our study that we see that family plays an important role in convincing people to take the vaccination.
I'm discussing the findings of a recent survey conducted by Ipsos and Malaysian universities on COVID-19 vaccine perceptions. with Lars Erik Lai of Ipsos Malaysia and Professor Mahendra Nair, Pro Vice Chancellor of Sunway University. More insights from their research after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just tuned in, this is Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. I'm Shazana. Professor Mahendra Nair, the Pro Vice Chancellor of Sunway University, and Lars Erik Lai, Associate Director for Public Affairs at Ipsos Malaysia, are with me on the show today to discuss the findings of a recent survey on COVID-19 vaccine perceptions in the country. The vaccine rollout in Malaysia properly began in February this year. Lars, is there data that shows how Malaysians' perceptions of vaccines have evolved over time?
Yes. So, although this study in particular, right, is a one-off, at least for now, but we do have some tracking data that we have done in other studies, which looked at how the perception towards vaccination have changed over time. We actually see that Malaysians seem to have become more open to vaccines during the middle of the year than what was the case earlier in the year. So we tracked in one of our studies the six main countries in Southeast Asia, including Malaysia, of course, Singapore, Vietnam, Philippines, and so on. And we saw that earlier in the year, in February, before the vaccine rollout, there wasn't a lot of difference between the different countries in terms of their openness to take a vaccine. But by the mid-year, the openness to vaccination was actually, in Malaysia, is one of the highest in the region, together with Vietnam, actually. So the situation, of course, have changed quite a bit from February, when we did the first survey, to June, when we did the second survey. Of course, one change is that in early February, the vaccination rollout hadn't really started yet, right? So it was more of a hypothetical scenario than something that was very, tangible to deal with. And of course, the case for Malaysia is that the situation has changed quite a lot as well, right? So we were in a completely different situation by mid-year than we were back in February, with a very much higher number of cases and also more severe implication of those cases. So another thing that we saw was prevalent by mid-year was that people who were open to taking a vaccine, they were pretty much open to taking it immediately. So we saw earlier in the year that many people who were open to taking the vaccine, they didn't see it as something they would have to do immediately. So people wouldn't mind taking it 1 month or 2 months in the future. But by mid-year, almost everyone who was open to taking a vaccine would like to do it immediately. A third thing that was also interesting to see is that we tracked some perception towards some common misconceptions about vaccines over time, right? Such as the perception that there's serious negative health impact of taking a vaccine, and people were much more likely to believe that before the vaccine rolled out compared to middle of the year when the vaccination drive had really started. So I think even though that the current survey that we have done, it shows that there's still some way to go. I think there's definitely more openness to the vaccine now than what it was earlier.
Just to add, I think, on last point, also I think the effectiveness of the vaccine is also, I think, as correctly put out, the type of information that is coming up. We're starting to see a lot more scientific information that is coming in terms of the effectiveness of the vaccines. And, as that comes in, there's greater confidence. But also, I think, this is a novel virus that is continuously mutating and changing. And that, too, has influence on the perception. And I think how effective the vaccines are in addressing that is going to continuously change in terms of it's something that still, people are watching as more work, more scientific data and information comes in, that is continuously going to change both in terms of confidence in accepting the vaccines.
And Professor Mahendran, you did allude to several measures earlier in the conversation, but what kind of policy recommendations would you make to the government authorities in terms of what could positively influence Malaysians to take the vaccine moving forward?
One of the things is that there are multi-pronged strategy that we need to address. And I think the first one is actually on information dissemination strategy. I think the global community is grappling with misinformation. And I think the young ones are more attuned to social networks. So we need to ensure that the information is accurate, scientifically based, and also there needs to be the sharpness and the savviness in communicating to the different segments of the population. And this includes, you know, highlighting the role of the youth, particularly in terms of this pandemic. I think that strategy is really important. The other one is also in terms of the type of technology. We see that the youth population is very savvy in using the digital technology, and the apps and the tools to get that information, also register, needs to be seamlessly integrated. So if there are hiccups, it has an impact, you know, for many of them. And this group is quite, you know, they use technology every day. So the tools need to be on the go, you know, get go, you know. But the second group is actually the older group that are not tech savvy. How do we actually develop systems to help them? So there's two groups that we need to address. There's also a third group, which is really important, that comes out in our study, which we call the sandwich group. This is the middle-aged group, which actually need to support the younger generation in their homes and the older generation. Again, you know, providing them support, you know, making it easy for them to communicate to both. You know, these are the bridge between the two, again, targeting them, which is the middle-aged group. So I think in terms of communication, we need to look at a more holistic communication strategy. But the other important aspect is also in terms of, you know, the vaccine passports. Increasingly, I think we are starting to see across many countries, this is going to be an important driver for ensuring that, you know, an incentive for people to be vaccinated. The passports are not just for traveling overseas, but across different districts, accessing school, going to university, getting back to work. You know, I think employers are starting to look at that, and also going to public places. So I think we need to be putting in incentives for people to get vaccinated, because every individual that is not vaccinated is a potential risk for the greater community. And I think that information and the incentives are critical. But the other important thing also that is that the concerning trend is also this notion of this fake passports that recently emerged. And I think that also needs to be addressed, you know, like any other system. I think we need to have, you know, foolproof systems, security systems that ensure the integrity of that. Otherwise, it will undermine all the good initiatives that are being put in place.
Lars, what outreach efforts have been successful in other countries that you think could be replicated here in Malaysia? Professor Mandarin is talking about vaccine passports, which has been introduced in France to some degree of success, but there's also been some pushback.
Yeah, so I'll be happy to add on about vaccine passports, right? Because that's also something that we've been focusing on in our studies recently. You're right that the acceptance of vaccine passports, the level of acceptance is very different in different countries, right? In some countries, it's seen as an effective policy or a necessity in order to reopen again, while in other places, it's more seen as an infringement on people's freedom to do what they like, right? And we have seen in our studies that for the case of Malaysia, is a pretty high acceptance of vaccine passports. We saw, for example, that 3 out of 4 agrees that vaccine passports should be used for people to enter the country or to be allowed to enter large events, you know, such as concerts or other cultural events. And there's also pretty strong support for vaccine passports being required to enter outlets such as restaurants or offices. So the support for that, it's among the highest in Southeast Asia. And I think in Asia in general, people are more supportive of such measures than in some of the Western countries, for example. I mean, you mentioned that there's been some pushback on it in France, right? Which is also the case in other countries in Europe and North America.
Okay, so the surveys conducted seem to indicate that Malaysians are overall in support of measures like vaccine passports, which, by the by, have not been implemented yet. At the same time, we are seeing a group of people objecting to these measures, such as the group that's planning to file a class action lawsuit here in Malaysia against vaccine mandates of this sort. So how do you think a measure like vaccine passports can be implemented effectively without disenfranchising a sizable segment of the society?
Yeah, I think we often grapple with this, not just with the vaccine, but a number of other public policy issues. Mm. When do we draw the line between social rights and individual rights? Mm-hmm. And I think this is where the legal aspects and also, you know, there are philosophical issues that needs to be addressed. But the end of the issue is that, you know, one needs to, the government has a major role in protecting the population in terms of threat and security issues. And oftentimes we see that there's a leaning towards social rights and social harmony. So this is where the balance needs to be there. But again, I think during a pandemic and in most other pandemics, you see that, you know, I know that when we were young, you know, in schools, you have to be vaccinated before you can be in school, you know, your BCG and all those things. So it is not an uncommon thing. Mm. But again, these are something that society will have to grapple with in terms of the balance between social and individual rights.
Mm-hmm. And it's still an ongoing debate. On that note, though, Professor Mahendiran, Lars, thank you for sharing insights from the survey. I do hope there'll be more research along this vein in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
I've been speaking to Lars Eric Lai, Associate Director for Public Affairs at Ipsos Malaysia, and Professor Mahendiran Nair, Pro-Vice Chancellor at Sunway University. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.